Welcome to Digital Health Transformers, a podcast series. In this podcast, we explore the dynamic world of healthcare innovation, one conversation at a time. I'm your host, Bryce Barger, and today we have an awe-inspiring guest at the forefront of transforming the healthcare landscape. Today, we've invited over a special guest who is the Chief Product Officer of Access Hope, Joy Kincaid. Joy holds dynamic experience in the healthcare field, especially in oncology and surgical care. Her knowledge and work revolve around developing innovative technologies to modernize healthcare. With almost two decades of experience in healthcare, Joy is regarded as a serial entrepreneur for her work in OncoHealth, WellCare Health Plans, Optum, and even Accenture. Her passion for technology drives her product strategies and innovations. At Access Hope, she is responsible for innovating, designing, and building products that improve access to leading cancer care, knowledge for members and their doctors. Access Hope offers cancer support benefits for members and connects them and their families to the expertise of subspecialists at the National Cancer Institute, which are designated comprehensive cancer centers. With a strategic approach, Access Hope brings the best cancer treatment expertise to help ensure the right treatment early on for the best possible outcomes. We are excited to welcome Joy and look forward to discussing more on how data-driven strategies help in advanced cancer care delivery. Thanks for joining us today, Joy. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing really, really well. I am super excited about this. And this is such a obviously a topic that hits close to kind of my heart as a past and current somebody dealing with skin cancer. But I think everybody has somebody who's affected by this nowadays. So
Absolutely.
this is such an awesome topic, and I know that a lot of the listeners will be able to connect with this. So I'm super excited to have this conversation today.
Me
Kind of
too. Honored to be here and represent Access Hope. And to your point, cancer is such a, unfortunately, just statistics are staggering on the number of lives it impacts so, and families. So.
Yes, ma'am. It really is, and it's something that pushing, making sure that we continue to push the envelope forward and continue to strive for new strategies and better outcomes, especially is something that's so important to make sure that we don't get stagnant in this, which I know doesn't happen, but it's just such an important, a really important step. So, kind of just getting started here, I kind of wanted to touch on your personal and your professional story, just kind of getting started. Joy, you seem to have worked in the healthcare field for obviously a good portion of your career, pioneered several products. Could you take us through kind of your journey?
Yeah, you know, I would say happy to. So I like to talk about one of the things I thought was interesting when I talk about my journey is kind of like how you got to where we are today and what are the those early lessons that kind of instilled to you. And you know, one of the things I actually didn't start in healthcare. I'm gonna kind of date myself and talk about where I kind of did start my career, which is actually in different industry, and then how I brought that into healthcare. So I'm totally dating myself. But do you remember this thing before there were mobile phones that we all have? There were long distance, and there was home phone. There was phones in your house, and like I remember that you know on a you know Sunday, it was always like a Sunday morning. We would get like a phone call. My mom would be like, "Oh my gosh, it's your Uncle Bjorn or it's your grandma calling," and somebody call, and it was what we called then. You know, back then you had local calling, which is like call your neighbor, and then you had like this concept of like long distance, and it
Long
was super
distance.
expensive. The whole house
Yes.
stopped. Did you have that
Oh,
experience as a
yes.
child?
For sure. Yes,
It was.
100%.
Yeah, and so it's I like to bring that up because my first job was actually to your point when I was at in management consulting, and we were it was around the turn of the century, and we were focused on improving the long distance service for a giant telecommunications company. Worked for like 2 years building this product. I was fortunate enough to like ship it, be there when it got shipped, be in the call center. And the first call, I was sitting next to the agent, and the first call comes in, and it was a disconnect, and they wanted mobile services. And then the second call comes in, and it was another disconnect. So
Oh,
the
no.
next 20 calls were all to disconnect long distance.
Disconnect.
They didn't want any of these features we built. And it was so like terrifying, but it also,
You're like, what happens? What's happening?
yeah, what happened? But like to your point, like it really, I'm happy it happened when it happened because it was literally my first engagement. And I learned two things. One, holy cow, technology can change the world in the blink of the eye. And this was the internet.com boom was happening and mobile phones were just starting. And then two, you really have to understand, even, I work today in cancer, which is a very complex space, and I've worked in healthcare. And those challenges are the complexity levels are even more amplified. But
For
even
sure.
then, it's like understand your customer needs and what's the problem to solve. They didn't want a widget to make it easier to buy long distance. They wanted a com you know convenient. They wanted the next generation, the technology of mobile phones. So I like to start with that. But then from there, I worked in electronics and high tech, and eventually made my way into a startup, WellCare, which was doing government healthcare, which I went from electronics and high tech to healthcare and saw. I don't know what your first foray to healthcare, but this was my first foray. And literally, we were trying to get people to enroll in new programs under the Clinton administration, like prescription drug Part D program, children's Medicaid, and like had to go door to door to do access. This was before iPhones, with laptops, gathering people's input, collecting data. And I was just hooked. I was like, I didn't know that you could go into healthcare and not be a doctor. And there was this whole other side of healthcare.
Well, the world, right?
And I'd be curious, like, how you got into healthcare, because that was in the early 2000s. And so it was much more of a newer field of managed care back then. And then eventually, to your point, had opportunities to go join Optum, had opportunities to get into OncoHealth, but ultimately led us here, where it brings it all full circle, where we're virtualizing cancer care and patient delivery, and truly trying to help with some deep problems within the healthcare system. So.
Yeah, for sure. I actually started out of school. It was my I was I'm really funny. I was diagnosed with diabetes when I was 10 years old, and was kind of like throwing like a bucket of water in my face. And but I got super interested in healthcare and nurses, and I was in the hospital a lot. I had went DKA multiple times as a child. I spent days in the hospital and had seen
Wow.
that whole world. And lived in Houston, Texas at the time, and was at Texas Children's, which is one of the top children's hospitals in the
Yeah.
nation, and was around like really cutting edge medicine, at least what it seemed like to me, and got this kind of this like fascination about it. I remember I used to come home like after high school and would get myself grab my homework, get myself some snack, a Dorito, a ramen noodle, whatever I'd be eating, and turn on like TLC, and they had like the unexplained medical mysteries or whatever, just like these weird TV
Oh,
shows, and I
that's
would just be locked into it. So I, when I went to school after I graduated, I was like, I'm going to be a nurse. Then I'm going to go be
oh,
get into
cool.
kind of anesthesiology. I love that kind of
Yeah.
whole aspect of being able to put someone to sleep and kind of do surgery. Long story short, I found out in college that maybe I'm a very good talker. I'm not chemistry. I'm not math. I'm not kind of that world. Much like my wife is, and who's a doctor herself, and but I just found that out pretty shortly and moved into business management. But I wanted to stay in the healthcare world. And when I first got out of school, I started working actually in the senior living field,
Oh,
and physical
interesting.
and occupation and speech therapy, for
Okay.
a company called Restore, and really fell in love with that, and moved that into home health. and got into the home health side of things. And then actually went into the addiction and mental health space.
Oh, wow.
And w was working on, became a business development specialist for a company in Mississippi. I personally live in Birmingham, Alabama, and what was so cool about them is they actually have fought like dogs to get in network with Alabama Medicare Medicaid, because the need in Alabama was so underserved. We have three hospitals here that can take inpatient help for addiction and mental health. And we have a ton of outpatients, right? Like a lot of
Yeah.
places have a ton of outpatients, but if you don't have, hardline insurance for a lot of those, it's tough. And if you don't have insurance, good luck getting inpatient care,
Yeah.
So what my our CEO there was from Alabama originally, saw the need and got into got us into net fought like a dog, I'm sure, got us into network with Alabama Medicare Medicaid, and we actually started servicing their patients. We were very close to the line, to the state line, and really it made such a huge impact into that. It was so cool, and and kind of how I got into the digital space and the digital products and healthcare is, there were so many needs in that I saw in the addiction and mental health space of being behind,
Yeah.
with their technologies, that I had got in touch with OSP just as a actually as a way for them to build us a product. A kind of a practice management product for the hospital that would help
Oh,
us,
wow.
help our efficiency, help everything, help us track our patients, this kind of this whole thing. And they did that. And kind of when COVID happened and things slowed down, I actually got the opportunity to join OSP, and that's kind of how I came over to
Oh,
OSP.
that's
But
awesome.
yeah, but it was and now I'm seeing, I've now, since I've been here, for the years I've been here, I've seen the impact that technology is making in healthcare. And it's just now really starting, I feel like, I know it's been there for a long time, and I will not dim or discredit what anybody's done in the past, because
Yeah.
it's what's got us here. But I feel like now, with some of these AIs and some of these machine learnings and these all these products, that we're really starting to kind of approach a new cusp. And it's such an exciting thing, and that's kind of Access Hope's kind of a approach to your guys's to that digital health strategy for cancer, and digital driven strategies, I should say. And super excited to have this conversation. Kind of shed some light on kind of some of the challenges you faced in finding kind of the right way to develop a patient, a kind of a patient-centric
Yeah.
product, sort of like a, and kind of help kind of fill us in on that a little
Yeah,
bit.
yeah, yeah. So, I have been fortunate enough to have developed a number of patient-centered products, probably over a dozen in the last couple decade. I would say here's what I've learned. So first of all, I learned, I don't know if you're familiar with human-centered design, but
Yes.
I have a passion and purpose for human-centered design, which is this concept of you start with a problem statement, be extraordinarily curious on what is the true pain point, what are you here to solve? And then two, I also kind of blend that with this approach of, when you work for a company, it's so important to understand what your mission is and then what are what I call like core beliefs. And for Access Hope, for example, to your point, our core mission is to democratize cancer care, export the knowledge from the NCI Comprehensive Cancer Centers, the six foundational partners that we work with, which are City of Hope, Dana-Farber, Emory, the Hutchinson, Fred Hutch, Northwestern, and Johns Hopkins. And that is a core belief that, that is core to who our company is. It's timeless. And so that knowing that, because that helps anchor the kind of how you build those products and how you, I don't want to use the word scope, but it's timeless. It's not, it's a timeless belief. The third thing, and this is especially relevant as you look at startups, and you know, we are a company that is approximately 4 years old. You need to, when you build new products or with existing products, I'll start kind of on the building new product side. You have to build, ship early and often. You're always balancing three things: quality can be synonymous with obviously quality of care, quality of evidence-based clinical pathways, as well as beautiful product design and making sure it's easy to use from a user perspective, because that is vital in healthcare. My mom just got hearing aids, and we went through and found the most advanced hearing aid that was also digital, connected to her smartphone, and she loves it. And it's changed her life. Thankfully, she was able, you know, there are modernizations happening. You have to keep it simpler and complex, and an eye towards accessibility. And two, scope, and then so scope, and then time. As a startup, your most expensive thing is time. Can you get a product to market to then learn and adjust? And so that's the final piece, is really you're looking at everything as a learning process and journey. Because what I love about healthcare, and you said it, we've come a long way, but we're also in a way in the first inning. I mean, if
For
you
sure.
compare where there's been so much technology advancement, I agree with you. AI is so exciting. But a lot of what has been done to date has been what I like softer events in marketing, email, video. The harder problems are harder to solve, and they understandably will lag. So that's how I look at patient-centered approach. The other thing that we do here, and I brought everywhere I go, is everybody talks to the customers and the users. And it's about finding that Venn diagram. Because I live in a B2B to C world, which that means business to consumer. So the buyer, for the most part, is an enterprise company, like a large employer that's able to self-fund their population. But we're treating consumers. And for us, we're working with oncologists directly as well. So everybody's in the field speaking to, you know, where they can speak to oncologists. We do user testing at least every 2 weeks, if not weekly. And everyone tests. It's not just something a designer does. Everyone in the team does that. Everyone who joins my team is encouraged to go out into the field and with our growth teams and sit down with our clients. So those are the things that I do to keep it super relevant, contemporary, and constantly having, I hate to say it, not the anxiety, but the anxiety of like, how can I do more for the, you know, keeping it real. And I think sometimes it's really easy to kind of get behind the numbers and not remember at the end of the day, these are people with cancer. So
For
we're
sure.
one of the scariest diagnoses in the world. And, you know, how can we keep remember that empathy portion of it? So that's how I do it. It's been very successful. I believe in design led, meaning you have to have a beautifully designed product that you're proud of.
For sure. Yeah, I love that. And I think speaking to kind of that point is making sure that you once you get to a certain point that you are staying connected to the patient, staying connected to your bait to kind of where you started and not starting cutting quarters for numbers or for which is easier said than done, right? I think in a lot of times because the business side of it is also hard to do, right? You have to be able to run a successful business to do these things. So it's it's fantastic to hear that you're so aware of that. 'Cause I think a lot of when you get to the top of C-suites that it's easy, it's super easy for them to get disconnected, right? You hear that all the time, and it's true. That because and it's not out of choice by them or anything. They're just it's just busy or they They have so much other things to take care of. So that's such a great thing to hear. And when you're dealing with someone, something like cancer, like you're mentioning, is hearing that and hearing that the whole company's bought into not just making my experience better, but also innovating and taking the next step to help even more. It's so cool to hear. Really, really cool to
And
hear.
I would add just one thing, a couple, one thing about the Access Hope culture that I would highlight. So that's like the why, and why I joined Access Hope is we do something every, so we have town halls once a quarter or once, excuse me, once a, regularly, once a month. And we end every town hall, and I give major credit to Access Hope because they had this before I joined. I've been here a little, about 15 months. At the end of every town hall, they do what's called a member spotlight. And it's de-identified, but one of our doctors will come on and talk about, you know, the story of a member, how we helped that member, what their original diagnosis was, what the treating oncologist said when they spoke to them, because our doctors will speak to the treating oncologist to consult them on their care path. And every town hall, that's what we do. Every client meeting, we have a member spotlight for each client meeting. And I think it's so core to what we have, we are, because, you know, we're just as a company, and why I thoroughly enjoyed my time at Access Hope, and it's just a mission driven organization at its core and its heart, and it permeates throughout the whole company. So.
I love that. I really do. So, kind of getting into the role of data in today's healthcare. I know, kind of as the role of data is evolving, how do you think it'll personalize the care, obviously, specifically in oncology?
So let's talk about data. What is data? So let's unpack that question. So data, so what Access Hope is here to do, and you talked about it, I'll just keep kind of reinforce it, is we're here exporting knowledge from, so what we do today, our service, our offering is we are exporting knowledge from those foundational partners into the community oncologists to help people get on the optimal care pathway. And we can talk about why some of those problems to solve, but and how we why we exist. But when you take break that into pieces, data is really bits of information. And when you string that together, it's knowledge. And so whether that's medical records that of the patient that we work with those founding those oncology founding on partners to work with them to summarize that information and then be able to send a beautifully written report to the treating oncologist and then speak to them about it. You know, that's how we, you know, we are using data to really change care delivery. And I'll tell you a little bit about what the care delivery problems we're solving and how that knowledge and data works together. So in the space of oncology, it's a rapidly evolving field. About it used to be medical knowledge changed every 50 years. It's now down to 73 days that it's changing. As a result of that, which is great and fantastic that oncology is progressing that fast, the unintended consequence is there is unfortunately times when the guidelines are lagging because of the pace of change. And so we focus on what is the optimal care in the areas where we can provide the most value that are rapidly evolving within oncology. And then three, I would say, you know, to what we talked about, unfortunately, you know, cancer is a human journey, and most people, 84%, and I was just talking to a friend today about this, but 84% of people do not get a second opinion when they're going through the cancer journey. And so what we do is we work with employers, health plans, and also what we call channel partners like aggregators or navigators to identify people that we can help collect their medical records in a process that is extraordinary, like takes the burden off of the member that's going through something and their family that's going through something very challenging. And then we work with the Johns Hopkins, the City of Hopes, the six NCI centers to find the subspecialist that would be the best for that person's case. And then we share that with the oncologist. And we do that all in a virtual or setting. We do that through technology that's powering that whole process. So that's how I see data. And that's just the beginning. We're a company that's 4 years in. We have tremendous opportunity to help people even more with this hyper-personalized care. But that's how we are changing care delivery, is by really getting people on the optimal treatment path and exporting that knowledge into the community. So does that help answer
Yeah,
the
for sure.
question?
Well, yeah, definitely. No, definitely does. Kind of OSP, we've worked in similar data-driven patient care projects. And obviously there are multiple challenges in even just delivering that care and delivering that data. What challenges do you kind of see that affect the healthcare and the innovation and patient care?
So there's a couple things. One is protection of patient data. It
For
is
sure,
patient
agree.
data. It has then safety of recommendations, right? Making sure we have the utmost clinical quality. And then I would also say, just the realities of the healthcare system and the size at which we are dealing with all the different groups to deliver this care and simplify what we're trying to do. So, for example, when we have to collect medical records, we have to go to medical records departments, labs, all these different groups to collect all the medical records. That is a very complex process. We have to work through getting engagement with those treating oncologists. So there's a lot of challenges to really pull this together, and take a system that is all well-intended, but try to optimize it, for that individual patient and pull all those pieces apart. I think just the breadth and scope of our system and the it, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. I mean, if you think about, I'm trying to think like restaurants. There's just so many providers. There's 14,000 different oncologists. They're all across the country. So there's just a lot of breadth and scope when you think about all the things that you have to pull together to enable getting a patient on the optimal care journey. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts in the process, and having something like Access Hope to help with that is massive, and it's important. It's not only for to provide better outcomes for as far as the doctor, the physician, but also the patient themselves being able to for understanding, for ease of use, for all of these things, all of these challenges that the patient faces, that also to help the doctors overcome the ch those challenges, which and help the efficiency of care, which we've already seen leads to better outcomes. So we've seen that for this proof to the proof's in the pudding, and so viably important. Getting into kind of some of the technology and advanced cancer care delivery, obviously, like we've spoke on, like we kind of touched on before, new emerging technologies like AI, VR, machine learning, et cetera, kind of have given health providers and innovators a lot of hope. Do you, for one, do you agree with that kind of statement? And how do you think these technologies will impact cancer care near the future?
So one, I absolutely agree that AI will be a transformative capability. I would say, we talked about this a little briefly. I also think healthcare is also still adopting things digitally, and
Yes.
getting getting to move beyond,
Beyond.
what was it? Getting to move beyond, kind of traditional methods of telephonic as well as faxing to more of a seamless integration is also something that I strongly believe in. I know you do because your podcast is named after it. But yeah, like I look at it as, to your point, I think AI is the hype around AI is extraordinarily justified. I look at it as when you know, if I look across my career, there was the 2000s, which was the dot-com bubble. You saw great companies like Google, Amazon, Meta come out of that. Then you saw the inflection point of mobile and the iPhone. And then you saw Airbnb, a whole nother set of use cases added between ride sharing and Airbnb. And now we're at this third inflection point, which is AI. And I think that AI has so much promise. I think that we have been looking at different ways, proof of concepts within the AI space, since ChatGPT 3 was really unveiled, or was it 4? It was in the last 4 was the big milestone. We had been playing with it with 3, and then 4 was the big milestone for a lot of what I would say more of the back office functions to automate and structure data and identify things. But where I think that it's just the beginning of what its potential is, and I think that it's just an ex huge inflection point that folks need to. That is not going to go away. It's a real hype. That being said, there will always be a need for the compassionate doctor. I strongly believe that, AI is more of a co-pilot will be in the next couple of years to help within this care delivery space. It won't replace the compassionate doctor. No one wants to be told that they have cancer by a machine. Like that's not compassion. And so, at least that's my perspective, just to be clear. And that is my perspective. Where I see, I just think we're just at, the beginning of an amazing series of next 5 years, which will have the magic will be in the use cases that people will create on the built on top of these models. So yeah, I'm extraordinarily excited. One of the things that I've heard a lot about recently, yet haven't seen in detail, is you continue to hear, if you, I don't know how much you listen to Sam Altman speak, but you hear him talk about, what they're doing with scientific progress and that becoming his goal. It will be amazing to see what happens because the incumbents, the very large language models, it will be amazing to see what they end up doing if they can solve for the compute issues.
For sure, 100%. And I agree with kind of that statement. And I was talking podcast that I don't believe we released yet with Adam Montmorency. We were speaking on kind of a similar, asking the kind of a similar question of AI and kind of it taking the step from helping with efficiencies to more patient-centered care, making care choices or care delivery. And he said that, and I agreed with him wholeheartedly, where there will always need to be a checks and balance system to even AI. And I think you put it perfectly, where it should only be, and I think and never really be used as just a tool to help the physician make better choices and outcomes for the patient, right? It should never be a replacement, I think, for a physician. It's definitely it's also the technology is nowhere near that. I think
I
some
totally
people
agree.
get so hyped with, oh, AI's here, next we can it can do everything, but it really isn't. It's still, it's exciting and we're making huge steps, but it's a long way to go, I think, before we're to the point to where it's being involved in truly, or ever has the in the question of replacing a physician or replacing a doctor or anything aspects, right?
So I totally agree with you. What I see is you have to be thoughtful of the fact it's going to continue to improve at 100x, to your point. However, when we have been doing our proof of concepting, it's doing a lot of the I would say more normalized items very easily. But when you get into the specific oncology use cases, not about doing any sort of medical care, but being able to that those specific use cases with that are unique to our field, you're seeing a gap and where the model can't handle it, it's not trained on that. And so when you're thinking about building with AI, it's, to your point, you're always going to have a doctor in the loop. There is a level of investment of training, because it won't go full. It's not at a state of maturity to take it to the next level. It is really exciting though, because even like personally, I'm now using it for my son had an injury, and we had to take him to the ER, and I literally asked one of these models, please price out if I have an X-ray, a child at
What's the
this
serum?
hospital, yes, at this hospital, I'm covered by this insurance. What do you think how much is this going to cost me? And it came back with a number, and I'm waiting for the EOB
If it's correct, yes.
to see if it's accurate. So
I
that.
might need to set a reminder and email you after to figure out what that is. That'd be a great use case.
Yeah. So we'll see if it does. It came out true. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love that. Could you share some, or even I have this question written down as challenges, but really I think it could be, could you share some challenges or successes that Access Hope has faced in implementing some of these technology-driven
Yeah.
products for cancer care?
To your point, the word challenges, I'm more like, I see it as opportunities, right? And so to me, the opportunity where we are as a company, so we are a growth stage company. We have over 5 million members. We have over 400 customers, in varying degrees and sizes. And where we're at is how do we continue to scale the product effectively? And how do we, where do we place those bets, right? And like, how do we scale the product effectively? And then I think this is the challenge that most healthcare companies have to wrestle with, because you have this, you cannot, there's no room for error, right? And so there's so many phenomenal clinicians that are doing everything amazing. So how do you find the right balance of self-service as well, giving people options and access to care, as well as, maintaining the highest quality possible. So that's the opportunity for us that lays ahead, is like, how do you effectively scale, how do we continue to scale this product that has product market fit across with increasing demand as we keep going. So.
Definitely. Joy, I definitely appreciate your time. Kind of final thoughts here, and kind of my last question I have, where, and this is kind of broad, and where do you foresee the next frontier in data-driven healthcare innovations and improvements in cancer care? What do you see as Access Hope's next dream or next step? What's in your wish list?
Yeah, I would say where I see the next revolution is just continue. We can help more people. I think the complexities of care are continue to grow and grow. There are more people living with cancer than there are people in active cancer. There are, obviously we started in with the working age with self-funded employers. I think there's tremendous opportunity to go more broadly across the spectrum of care. When I think of the future with Access Hope, I'm super excited. I think that, and I think when I think about healthcare specifically, just like every we just talked about, I think there is so much potential to continue to improve access to care, modernize care, make it more simple from where we started, right? You being
That's
inpatient,
just
working in hospitals, to providing care to people in a more convenient way, in a cost-effective manner, and just increasing access and care. I think that's what really excites me. I hope that you know the technology will continue to help on that care delivery and make it more accessible to people across the country. And you know, I think as much as we talk about the healthcare system in America, you know, there's other populations in the world, you know, who even have more need for virtual care and so forth. So I'm excited. And I'm an internal optimist. My name is Joy. So it
I
comes with
love
the
that.
territory. And I, you know, I would say I really enjoy you as well. Your persona and your happiness just radiates from you and your optimism. So I really appreciate having had an opportunity to talk to you today and be a part of this podcast and talk about the great things that lie ahead of us. So.
Yeah, I that is ditto, Joy. I really I can see the passion, and every time I love having conversations, and obviously have a ton of conversations with healthcare companies that are pushing the box forward and pushing innovation. And there seems to be a com there is that common thread of hope, of being of just like being like, you know what, things can be better, and I'm gonna be the person to make them better.
Yeah.
Which is I love, and I see that in a trend, and you have that as well. And it's such an
Thank you.
and being able to having you in this space, you know, just makes as somebody who's dealing with cancer literally right now, going to a doctor's appointment in the
I
next
know, I
45
was gonna
minutes.
ask, are you okay?
I am doing good. Everything's going fine.
Okay, good.
So we'll be everything is going good. So I will I'm still fighting, and having just know having the knowledge that there's technologies and companies like Access Hope and like yourself that are behind that. It's just cool. It really is. And it's exciting to know that, you know what, we're not being stagnant in this. We're not just accepting it. We have people out here fighting every day for people like me, for people like your brother, for people like your mother, for people like everybody out there who's been affected
Yeah.
by cancer. So, from my half, and from OSP's half, I send my thank you to yourself, Joy, to Access
You're
Hope, and to
welcome.
what you guys are doing. So thank you again for your time, and I cannot wait to stay in touch with you guys,
Love
and
to.
see what's happening next year with Access Hope.
Awesome. I'd love that. And I wish you best of luck.
Thank
And
you.
this has been my honor and pleasure to talk to you today. So I know you have to get your appointment, so I'll let
Yes.
you go, but I'm happy to come back and share more about what we're doing next year. So,
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Troy.
all right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.